It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
Shut up and entertain me.
There's no rules. There's no rules.
Holy sh! It's amazing.
I see her sarcasm and nastiness grow.
This is Davin's Den.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than threatening somebody's going to get lynched. I am your host, Davin Rosenblatt, and I am joined by Joe Curry.
Hello.
Pip Helix.
Hi, everybody.
And Tau of Energy's own, Russ Ferdico.
What's up?
How are you, kids? On the show, School of Fools, as a white teacher tells a young black student he's going to be lynched. A teacher's thrown in jail for questioning why the superintendent's getting a big raise. Possibly racist or historically accurate coffee cans. We have a brand new bit called Decoding the Bible, and the results of a new sex survey, which looks at how many sexual partners people have. Now, Russ was very proactive in making sure that his young teenage girl, daughter, did not get that tally started. I guess your daughter had a boyfriend.
Yes.
How old?
She's 14.
14. Was there a rule? Was it established rule that you can't date?
Correct.
To a certain, what was the age?
Correct. At least till junior year. And even then, it will be highly supervised. She's a
okay.
Friend.
All right.
Like junior prom date, shit like that.
Please, yeah. The language.
Are we syndicated yet?
Yes, we are.
Sorry. You got to warn me.
Well, we did.
Sorry. I wasn't listening.
Perfect.
Republicans can produce a chemical that blocks out liberal voices. It's a unique trick we
have. We're well aware.
Anyway, yeah, so.
There was a rule.
The line. Okay. She was using her cell phone, which I paid $800-something for this darn thing. It launches. It's got more technology in it than got man.
So she's got a boyfriend. She had a boyfriend. Now, how did you get wind of this illicit?
Well, she came clean to the mother because her and Sir Dumb. Yeah, whatever. Had this ingenious plan that during the holiday break they would get together because they were just friends and the boy's parents would be home.
So the wife's a snitch.
Yes. My wife comes to me and be like, we got a problem. What's the problem?
Your daughter was dumb.
My daughter has a boyfriend. That's a friggin' problem.
You know who's not going to hear secrets anymore? Your wife.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
So now we stalk her on social media.
That's healthy.
So yeah, we become stalkers now. It's awesome.
Do what you got to do.
We're smoking her out of her hole.
Great. Do what you got to do.
Exactly. This is parenting in the modern age. You know what my parents used to do? Take the long 30-foot phone cord off and put the short one on. So you had to stand in the kitchen and talk and they can hear you.
Hysterical.
That was my
man.
Remember that stuff?
Yeah. Yes.
That's what I had to do. You know what I did? I cut her cord down. She's being monitored.
So Mrs. Ferdico says,
comes to me, we got
Russ, honey.
Houston, we got a problem. Yeah.
Okay.
She knew I was going to flip. So especially after having conversations like, we'll talk about this stuff during your junior prom and I'll be there with my AR. Loaded, depending on what size magazine our governor could allow me at the time. And that's it.
Oh, boy.
I try to play it cool at first to the best I can. I'm like,
well, you're a great actor.
Yeah, so basically after a whole long thing, we're arguing about it. She's like, you don't understand what it's like to be a teenager. I'm like, take a walk. I survived the 80s. We had no seatbelts, no safety labels. We drank soda by the gallon.
And Sammy Hagar joined Van Halen.
Exactly.
We can't have this.
Yes. I told you, think you're hot stuff watching Miley Cyrus in a teddy bear costume? When I was growing up, Ozzy Osbourne bit the head off of a bat. Beat that. So
yeah, but you didn't bite the head off of the bat. Wait, hold on. How do you get to claim us?
Our media. Things we were expired. I had no idea what was going on. Facebook and this and that, and that's how she started talking to this jackass.
Well, she's telling you don't know what I'm going through.
I was a teenager, I know, and
you were also a guy. You were also a guy.
Maddie, that's why I was proactive and kiboshed it.
Hold up.
I'm like, I'm losing. How old's your daughter?
14,
no way.
How old's your daughter?
Hold on, I'm not saying
because you're next.
You're next. 4 years out,
this,
buddy.
Hey, Russ, this show in 2 years. Russ, this show in 2 years, you're going to be sitting down here. It's going to be his turn.
He's like, Russ, you're not as sharp as this.
Hold on.
Hey, Russell, remember those guns I thought you should turn in to New York State? Can I borrow one, please?
Hold on.
We're not talking about me.
Hold on.
Yes, yeah.
I'm a Republican now. I want a gun.
You don't know how this story turns out.
Okay, all right. Okay.
There's a reason why we're talking about
it. Okay. I was losing the point of the conversation with her.
Okay.
She was being very, I would say, it turned more of a monologue than a conversation of why this shit ain't happening.
So, right.
Well, please. Stop. You don't know what it's like to be a syndicated host.
No, sorry, syndicated host gods. I won't do that anymore. So, you won't know what it's like for this stuff to be happening.
It was stupid over there. Throw it like you did last week.
No, it's fine. Nice. You can't hear it now.
Yes, I can.
I'm losing the conversation.
You're losing. All right, let him go. Let him go.
Nonsense.
Wipe the booger off your nose.
Yeah.
He can't edit. This is over there. Go excuse yourself. Be edited.
Oh, thank God. I'm so sorry, Devin. I get emotional talking about it. Having their own party.
I know.
In the middle of a tirade.
I'm sorry. I was handling one jackass at a time.
I left jackass, but not S.
Yeah, you're the one.
Right.
Really?
Exactly. Yes. I had Pip dealing with you, but now I'm back giving you my attention.
Yes, the liberals are dividing and conquering.
Yes, we are.
Something they couldn't do last November.
No, actually, last November they did fine. It was the November before.
Well, last November.
No, last
not
November.
This past November, the one before that.
That's last.
2 Novembers ago.
Oh, there you go. All right. So your daughter is tuning
in. I'm losing the conversation quick. It's now just her berating me with, you know, nothing's going to happen because the boy's parents are home. I'm like, you know how much stuff. I'm going to say stuff now.
By the way.
That's good.
I did. When I was a teenager, with my parents' home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And got away with it shamefully.
That's how pillow biting.
And that
pillow biting.
Yes. Yes. Well, one must bite a pillow when there's adults downstairs.
Mm-hmm. I punched wall. What are you doing in there? Oh, hanging a picture.
Punch walls.
That's a great metaphor.
Yeah. Instead of screaming, you punch walls. It's a release. Trust me. So anyway.
You have much different dating life than I did.
So I'm like, this just ain't happening. So I told my wife, I'm like, you talk to her for 2 minutes, calm it down, and get the boyfriend's father to call me.
Oh.
My wife said, what are you going to do? This is going away. This is going away. So.
So this all happened.
I did this out driving to work. Now I'm in the car now.
This is all while you're in the car.
No. The physical confrontation's over between my daughter and I.
There's going to be another one, too.
Sorry. So the physical part of the
conversation. Are you new? Hold on, excuse me. Are you new? Seriously.
I can't control the phone.
Really? There's something that I introduced you to last week. Thank you, Russ.
Yes. Mute. Seriously. I know how to work mine on my cell phone.
Yeah, really.
And I'm an idiot.
Dating again.
And she's got a rotary cell phone. What's your problem?
I do. Can't tell you when I got stuck
not
in
an
it.
Extension.
All right. So you've had the confrontation.
I had a physical confrontation about it. Like, hey, this just isn't happening. Live with it. Get over. I'm in charge and you're not. So, I get in my car, and I'm driving to work now. I'm pissed off because I forgot my coffee. Big mistake.
Oh, no.
Big mistake. So now, exactly.
Seven
in the morning.
Oh.
We got the teenager on the bus. So all this is going down while she's shipped off to school.
Right. Okay.
The boy's father calls me.
Mm-hmm. Why did he call you?
Because I asked for it. I had my wife
tell
set it up
while she was still at home. Had the boy. Father called me. I want to talk to the father. Legitimate.
Father's the same age as,
this
as your daughter.
Yeah.
14.
Both kids are the same age. Nothing perverted or crazy. Nothing that required a shotgun.
I didn't insinuate she was dating Roy Moore.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's shotgun news. No, that's like.
And I would agree.
There's no conversation. It's like, okay, you want the AR or the shotgun? You want a sting or just a blast in your chest? Anyway.
So. You're a reasonable man?
Yes,
I am. I'm not going to argue otherwise.
Yes. All about choices. Yes. Consequence.
Yep.
He's so, pro-choice.
You know when, and I'm going to edit this part. National syndication is tough for this conversation.
It's not. You just use the consonant it starts with.
Yeah, I get it.
Do you?
So the guy gets on the phone, and for anybody who's never talked or argued with an Italian, especially a Sicilian, you know the conversation's going down south fast, and it's not going to be a cordial conversation when it starts off with a question. Especially a bad question that's an insult.
What about how was your day going?
I started off, he goes, hello, Mr. So-and-so. Hello, I'm Russ. Not even Mr. Can I ask you something? Yeah. Are you an effing a-hole? And that was the first sentence out of my mouth, and there was just silence.
But that's what you said?
That was my first sentence to this guy after giving him my first name.
See, even Joe's eyes are bugging out. That's what I said. You don't know how this goes.
What? What do you mean? I was like, I'm going to say it again because I'm a polite guy. I think I'm smarter than you too, by the way.
You said
are
that?
I was like, are you an effing a-hole? What are you talking about, sir? I'm like, well, first of all, my father, sir. I'm Russ. I gave you my effing name already. I'm like, I think you and your wife are both effing a-holes.
Wow!
How can you say that? You want to have 2 14-year-old kids home together today. Even with you home, I was like, either you grow up in an effing cornfield or you're dumb as dog ass. This is very hard on national syndication because it just works.
They know
the
what you mean.
Yeah, but we're getting the point,
like,
yeah.
There's like the Three Stooges are out to sound the
You're not
right
exactly
now.
Subtle.
No, with this shit. Oh,
sorry.
David, stop it! You're
Are you an F and A?
Yes, I'm an F and A-hole.
Although that was what that was CNN says. Maybe we can say these words.
My wife and I have perfect supervision of our children. I'm like, you're full of it. Are you kidding me? I was like, you know how many things I did dumb while I was being supervised by my parents? I'm like, you and your wife can't be that ignorant. I'm like, you bozos are so open-minded, your brain's falling out. He goes, you, sir, are a terrorist, and this conversation's over. I'm like, terrorist, debatable. If you want a conversation to be over, buy a saw and shove it up your A, jerky. And then I was about to hit him harder with some more insults, and he hung up on me.
Oh,
no,
why
don't
you
stick around?
No, worse. Because of this fiasco, the boy missed the bus. The father had him on Bluetooth in the car.
Oh!
So the fake boyfriend, oh, to my standards, fake boyfriend, heard the whole
fake boyfriend.
Oh no!
From his girlfriend's psychotic father,
the terrorist.
Wow! I'm the terrorist. I was a terrorist.
I gotta say, a little terroristy.
A little scary.
A little terroristy.
I don't think so, personally, because the parents can't be this stupid. I know we grow up in a dumb culture and a lot of Gen X.
But it was it a supervised visit?
It
like
don't
prison.
Matter. They're 14, and I'm thinking back when I was in high school. My girlfriend coming over to do homework. The books weren't even creased, Joe. They didn't even get cracked.
Now couldn't the
might have.
I know it got cracked.
Now couldn't the conversation? Exactly. Now couldn't the conversation start? Couldn't come, listen. I don't want my daughter coming over your house. Just
no,
so,
not appropriate. I went for this guy's throat. He's an idiot. And I had to show him he was an idiot, and I had to educate him on why he was an idiot, and I think I did fairly well.
I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't think so.
My wife gets a call from the school office.
This I did not know.
Well, yeah, it gets better. There's only so much I put on Facebook. Davin's dead, anything goes.
By the way, I immediately recognized the story and said, this will be good for the radio.
Yes, he posted that.
Good.
I edited
it.
School calls my wife. Your daughter's here in the office hysterical. My wife calls me. Our daughter's in the office hysterical. I'm like, why? That guy you just cursed out. Yeah, the moron who wanted 2 14-year-olds together.
At least you don't back down. At least, you don't back down.
You know, like, oh, dear.
No retreat. No surrender.
Stand my ground.
I'll build a wall. Give me a wall.
I'm going to build a wall around my daughter. It's going to be a big wall.
Solar panels and all.
No 14-year-olds are getting past this wall.
No, absolutely
hysterical.
So she's like, what did you do? I told the guy where to go and draw him a map. Why'd you do that? Because it was the right thing to do. Did you know the boy was in the car? No.
there
was just an uncomfortable silence over that. And I heard, no, I got this. Anybody who's married has heard this. I got that on Bluetooth.
And that breath.
Yeah.
That breath speaks volumes.
And that's why I'm into my office now.
Oh, no. And thinking.
I'm in the parking lot and I got the breath.
And you're thinking, where am I sleeping
and
tonight?
I'm like, dude.
No, that wasn't from his wife.
Yes,
well, that was from his wife.
Oh, got the breath.
Oh, that was
the
breath.
Oh, you've got the breath.
Why did you do this to that man? Why did you? Haley's crying. Oh, sorry, my daughter's crying. She's in the office hysterical. The boy texted her in between the class and the whole room and broke up.
Let me stop this right there. Now, hold on.
I'm like, success!
Hold on. Let me stop
it.
It works!
Because there were many epiphanies in the Ferdico household on that day.
Yes.
Russ and Susan's little daughter learned no longer go to mommy with anything.
Right.
And mommy, learned maybe
like
daddy shouldn't be the first line of defense.
No, like the Taliban, you got to smoke him out of the hole, drop my webs on him.
I think this was a little much. No, I think.
You know why? Because the kid broke up with her immediately.
Here's the thing.
And I didn't do anything except to talk the father. So it was the kid's breakup. All I did was call the father
I didn't do anything.
An idiot and other things.
Here's the thing.
The father called me a terrorist, which It's very offensive this day and age.
I have sat
in New York City.
I have sat.
I saw those
let
buildings
stop
fall.
Let me
and he
stop
called
you
me a terrorist.
Let me stop you.
Anyway.
Well, with the beard, maybe. Anyway,
it's winter time, dude.
He's a sponsor. Let him go.
I have sat
I'm
in your door.
I'm Sicilian.
Before, oh, before, before you became kinder and gentler, Russ, you were a sensei of a dojo.
Yes.
And many times in this dojo, while I was watching, while I entrusted my little girl in this man's hands, I would hear him preach to his class. You use equal force.
Correct.
You don't use
this was minimal force.
I don't think
so. I should have driven to that guy's house.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
A from one end of his yard to the other.
I don't think
for
so.
Entertaining the idea of waiting for winter break, then 2 14-year-olds cuddling on a couch all day while him and his wife home.
So no. They're in the living room.
No.
They're in the living room.
And which moves into the bedroom.
No, but you it doesn't have to. It doesn't
dude,
have to.
Bad habits, young age.
No,
bad,
but aren't
bad,
the parents, would you,
no
felt, would you felt it better, would you have felt better if it was at your house?
No. I gotta go to the store and take a piss.
Because I know they'd be at gunpoint.
No.
I mean, I know.
I have cameras. I have cameras in my house.
It's not far fetched.
No, no, it's not. I know.
You'll find a button. There was an agenda here. Like I said, I remember having my girlfriends over after school. Mommy, it's okay. You'll be home. Yeah, it's great. We're just gonna do homework. Yeah, cute. No, no. Next thing you know, her ankles are banging up against the headboard. No, ain't happening.
All right.
No, these kids. No,
we're gonna take a break, but I'm gonna say. A bit much. A bit much. I think you could have dialed it back a skosh.
I'm just saying, sledgehammer to break a walnut.
Absolutely.
I think a bit.
Who's gonna kill a fly?
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Yeah. I think
Schwarzenegger.
How old
send
12
choppers when
you
need one.
Not 14 yet, right?
No, she's not 14.
I get a funny feeling when she turns 14, we're going to be sitting here going, you didn't do enough.
No.
Adam's going to be here with a tiki torch and an AR-15.
I think, guys,
no. Going to that kid's father's house.
Very protective of their little girls, you know?
I understand
you know
the protection.
Why? We knew what the
I understand rules. I understand protection. I understand rules. I understand you guys set an age. I understand that.
All
but
were violated, including the law of common sense. Not just Russ's law.
No, the law was
common sense. You do not, during...
Go to your wife with a secret.
The holiday season, have 2 14-year-olds alone spending time with each other, okay? Unless they're in cells on opposite side of the block talking with megaphones. Positive end result.
I just want to say, if Russ was my father, I'd still be a virgin.
Nice.
Good man, good man.
Let's be honest, your father was trying to get you laid. Enough.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, he was putting my profiles up on,
yeah,
on before the internet even existed.
By 25, he's like,
"Wait, flyers,
flyers. She's available, fellas.
Nice white skin.
Get her out of the house.
Take her out of my hands.
You go through Tyson garage sale. Pip's available.
Oh, no.
Pip has the following weekends available.
And we have a nice sparkle
lounger.
So Pip feels a bit much.
A bit much?
Joe?
Maybe.
All
yeah,
right.
Maybe.
So you got a three a bit much. Yeah, I'm going to take
a wait till your daughter grows up. Vote, please.
What?
Vote, and I'm going to remember this vote. I will be here. I will be here.
Now, before I take
your,
I should say,
I will still be here.
That sounds a little creepy, Russ.
On social, on social media, he was roundly applauded.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Overwhelming support.
Yes.
I will. I do.
Male and female.
I do.
Ironically, a lot of my former karate moms post laughy faces because they knew me as a sensei, and my older crowd had to deal with me at this level. Davin never had to. I broke up a few relationships with my students when I was a sensei.
Right.
Ah,
and
now we're
getting
to it.
Conversation didn't start off so derogatory with the Italian question. It started off with more of a rhetorical question.
Right.
Do you really need a boyfriend or girlfriend right now? Don't you think that's a distraction at the ripe old age of 14?
Right.
Yeah.
You're more of a wet blanket than a black belt.
Exactly.
Let me tell you.
My belt is older than you.
Right.
You know, my belt is older.
And it stays around my waist where your belt will too.
So
right.
Some of the karate moms even supported indirectly with ha-has on Facebook.
Right.
I don't know if that's support or like, thank God our daughter's not with.
No,
that
was support because a few of the moms I had done this for back in the day.
No, this was the nervous laughter emoji.
All right. All right.
Well,
there you go. Quite the story. A bit much. I get the sentiment. Well, we'll be back.
No,
we'll be back
anywhere.
With School of Fools.
It's Wrecking Ball Radio. This is Davin's Den.
Oh. let's do some since Russ ruined the door to school.
Save her future. Bring around the rosy, bucket full of posies, ashes, ashes, we all
fall down. Shame, shame, shame. School of Fool.
All right, so we have a Louisiana superintendent says he received death threats after a teacher who criticized his raise proposal went to jail. Teacher DeShia Hargrove was called upon to speak during the public comment part of the school board meeting when she criticized the superintendent's proposed raise of $110,000 to $140,000. She said, "You're making our job even more difficult. A superintendent or any person in a position of leadership getting any type of raise, I feel like it's a slap in the face to all the teachers, cafeteria workers, and any other support staff." Hargrove said teachers had not gotten a raise in years. Public records show base salaries for this Vermillion Parish teachers range from $39,000 to $58,000. The superintendent's $30,000 raise is more than half of his salary.
Okay.
As Hargrove continued sharing her concerns, the city marshal,
hired by the school district, removed her from the meeting. He was much bigger than her, and outside the room where the meeting was held, she fell to the ground and was handcuffed by the marshal. Hargrove was booked into the nearby Aberville jail, accused of one count of resisting an officer. How could you resist in that uniform? And one count of remaining after being prohibited.
Teachers matter.
She bonded out soon afterwards. City attorney and prosecutor said they're not going to press charges. This is not about the board. It's about the teacher, and everybody wants to side on the poor little woman who got thrown out. School board president Tony Fontana told CNN. Well, she made a choice. She could have walked out, and nothing would have happened. In the end, the school board approved the raise, which was a raise of 27%. As the video of Hargrove's arrest spread around the world, it received death threats. By silencing my voice, they've also taken or tried to take away my First Amendment. Right, Hargrove said? All right. I agree. Violation of First Amendment.
Was she threatening? Was she disturbing?
No,
anything?
Not at all.
She was in front of a microphone basing opinions.
Yes.
And she was handcuffed and removed.
Yes.
Okay, well, that woman, if he was still alive, is called Johnny Cochran. Okay. And, like, yeah, absolutely. She's got a suit. I'm sorry. Clearly violent. That's disgusting.
So I saw the video of this, and she was acknowledged by the board.
She had the floor.
She was speaking. And then the marshal came over and stood in front of her, and they were told that she had to leave the room. So she left
the
room.
Was there a time minute allotted?
No, it wasn't that she broke the time. It was just that she was allowed to
speak.
She was acknowledged and allowed to speak. She was
gave himself a 30% raise.
Well, the board was giving him a raise.
Yeah, they all go to lunch together.
No one in the school, no teachers, no support staff had gotten a raise in 10 years.
Ooh, big problem.
And so, class size had gone up from an average of 20 to 29, which is a third more work. And 10 years without a raise? Imagine this. She got in the hallway and she said he pushed her down on the ground. And the video misses the moment when that happened. But here's this 5 foot tall woman getting handcuffed on the ground by this guy and then like force marched out of the building.
The cop should be suspended without pay, and whoever was chairing that meeting should resign.
I think this is a trend of trying to silence dissenting opinions.
Correct.
Whether it's the media or somebody speaking at a university, this is the new trend where I don't want
to
hear this, I will silence you.
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. That's where we're heading, and you know what happened last time we did that? Lots of cannon fire, guns, that Civil War thing. Yeah, it was pretty bad.
We all agree this raise is outrageous.
Absolutely.
30%? Are you kidding me?
Especially, and the teachers didn't get a raise?
Oh, come on, man. It's cronyism at best. I know local politics too well. That's exactly what happened.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, it was, I don't want to hear from you anymore,
yeah,
and I don't like your opinion, and it's done. And they were starting to take a vote on it, and they're like, whoa, 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 the discussion period's not over. And they're like, yeah, we're done hearing you, basically.
I think
that's dirty.
I think lawsuit.
And a marshal, this was a sheriff?
Yeah. Well,
terrible,
he was definitely cool. Police
I'm
department.
I'm going to make one more point, and then I'm going to take a quick break and reset the system.
Okay.
I think this makes bigger headlines if it was a white city marshal, because it was a black city marshal manhandling a white woman. I think if it was the other way around, if it was a white city marshal manhandling a black woman, I think it would have made even bigger headlines.
You know what the sad thing is, Devin? One, I can somewhat agree with that. Two, you know what happened here? An American had their First Amendment right.
Oh, yeah.
Trampled.
Yes.
Blatantly an American. Forget color. Forget gender. Okay?
That's where we're headed.
Somebody under the umbrella of our country was forcibly removed from a meeting for basing an opinion.
Right.
And law enforcement was used as a weapon against an American.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That's what happened.
In the next story, we have a white teacher who told a black student his classmates would form a mob and lynch him if he didn't focus. This teacher is not going to be suspended or fired, according to the child's mother, Mason City school official said. The incident happened in front of the child's class in December, according to his mother, Tanisha A.G. Bell, Mason school spokeswoman Tracy Carson, confirmed. The teacher said Nathan, that's the little boy, was disrupting the class when she told him to get back to work. I said to him, your classmates are tired of you costing them points. When you come in tomorrow without your homework completed, your classmates are going to be angry and then become a mob who will want to lynch you.
Wow.
The boy Nathan immediately called her remark marsh.
Culturally insensitive at best. That's messed up.
Well, he immediately called her out.
When did this happen? What city? State, rather?
Was just like somewhere not here.
Mason, Ohio.
Thank you, Joe.
Okay. Sounds big.
Now the student, the boy, immediately called her remark racist, and she immediately apologized and said, "You know, I didn't mean to come out that way." The district investigated, and they're going to require to take cultural training, according to a formal letter of reprimand. Between 1882 and the height of the civil rights, nearly 3,400 African Americans were lynched. Nathan's mother said, "This is not a clear punishment. That's not satisfactory at all. I still want her out of the classroom until she gets the training." She's never been reprimanded. She's been a teacher there since 2002. She's got a very good record. To me, I find lynching to be very specific form of punishment.
Yes.
To African Americans.
Yes.
It's not the word I would use to address.
If you were going to say they're going to kick your butt, which would be wrong.
Right.
Which would be wrong, but kick your butt is general enough where you would not have racial connotations.
Correct.
You still might get called in.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous that this teacher used that specific wording and then kind of went, "Oh, was that wrong?" You think?
I get the school board, the school district's idea of cultural sensitivity. That's exactly.
Yeah, but she can't be in the classroom now.
No, she can't. She can't. Look, she made a mistake. She phrased it wrong. She got called a racist. She immediately apologized and said she used the wrong term. Immediately, as soon as the kid.
Yeah, because she realized she stepped an S.
But she realized that she made a mistake. So if she realized that she made a mistake, she made a mistake.
I understand. I didn't say she should never get the gig back. I'm saying you're suspended until you get the training.
I don't even think she needs the training. She made a mistake. She said
that's
something.
That's not the type of that's not a normal mistake.
That's like a slip of the tongue.
No, your friends are going to form a mob and lynch you. That is very specific to blacks, to African Americans. That is very specific.
It's
a word or a country with a lot of history.
Yes.
Know.
Yeah, it's like they didn't surround a Mexican kid and say, your friends are going to surround you and deport you back to Mexico. I mean, you know, it's like that's very specific.
And this kind of goes back to something I've been thinking, like Joe is saying it's a mistake, but wants to defend the mistake. I find that we're, again, in this new era that we're in, we're a lot more tolerant of stuff like this. This, I mean, you can't do something. Most of us can't do something like that at work.
But the thing about it is she realized it was a mistake and she apologized for it. If she was defending herself, then there's a problem. She's not defending herself. She admitted that she made a mistake. She went over, she talked to the child and said that it was a mistake, and she apologized directly to the child. Okay, it's not like she insisted she did nothing wrong and she had to go in front of the board and she's still pleading her case. She admitted when the child admitted that, you know, what she said was racist, it did dawn on her, yeah, you know it was. Spoke to the child and
no, she didn't admit it was racist. She said I didn't mean it that way.
She did, but she admitted that she apologized to him and said she didn't mean it the way it came out.
You know what?
She made a mistake.
I think it comes from the top down. We're seeing things slide that we never let slide before. And now it's trickling down. I'm sorry. On the internet part of the show, I talked about a white comedian who went off on an African American audience member and was dropping the N-word, and he was immediately fired. Right. That was it. Shipped out of the resort. Why are comedians held to higher standards than teachers and presidents? Why?
Well, look, it's a case by case thing. In the situation, right, in this story, she made a mistake. The kid called her a racist. She said, "You know what? You're right. I didn't mean it like that." She apologized. She did not. She was not, you know, saying that she didn't.
She should be fired. But still, I said she should take the class first.
But still, she doesn't need the class because she realized that she made a mistake. And then she apologized directly to the child. She did make a mistake, but it's not like she's being, you know, is trying to stand out there. I did nothing wrong. I don't know what the problem.
Let me ask you
she
a question.
Did.
Let me ask you a question. As a comedian, how many times
we're not? We're not talking about a comedy club here.
Why? But as a comedian, when you make a mistake and you admit it, how often is the booker like, "Oh shucks, Joe, that's fine"? No, I can tell you, we've been part of mistakes together. Mm-hmm. Things that weren't even our mistake, we've gotten blamed for. There's no "Oh shucks." There's one strike and you're out. And I'm not even saying she has to be out, but I'm saying we got to stop letting things slide. We got to stop backsliding. She made a faux pas. If it was a genuine mistake, I don't know if it was or it wasn't. I don't know what's in this woman's heart or head. She made a mistake. Take the sensitivity class, and then we'll see. That's all I'm saying.
What's the context of the situation? I mean, sometimes if in a comedy club somebody says the N-word three times, you know what? You're doing it after the first time, and you're still doing it. You know what? You're not realizing there's a problem. She said this. The child said you're being racist. She realized it immediately. She apologized. And that, to me, that's enough because she realized that. Okay. She, like I said, it wasn't where she had to go in front of the school board and she was still standing her ground. She made a mistake. She owned up to it. That's the end of it.
I think that the facts are not in evidence what was, like you said, in her head and her heart. I don't know if it sounds like she was saying, "Oh, I realize I made a mistake. I'm sorry." Or if, as Russ says, she realized she stepped in S and then she's...
No, I said that.
Oh, you said that? Okay.
Because Russ would have said the full word.
Beep. She stepped in S and then she apologized because it's like, "Oh boy, I'm going to be in trouble for that." We can't tell. I would like to see her take the sensitivity and then come back.
All right, take a break.
This is Davin's Den.
Let's just keep the kumbaya rolling right along.
Oh, that's insensitive.
Was it? Why?
I sung that in Boy Scouts.
Why?
Cooking a hot dog on a campfire.
I mean, it's come by here. Yeah. I learned that from Davy and Goliath.
Gee, Joe, thanks for listening.
It's an African song.
I always wondered why there was a talk. You know, a talking dog was a sign
was
of the
a
devil.
The dog was the sign of the devil?
No, a talking dog is the sign of the devil. Oh. And Davy go, "Kill Sally, Davy." You know?
I saw some terrible voiceovers in the 90s. Yeah. I can't even dare say it on the air.
Oh,
let's see if we can
so
find
wrong.
It on the internet.
Like, dirty. They took a wholesome Christian cartoon puppet show.
You get it? And he overdubbed it?
And perverted it to the nth degree to the point
Note
where...
Note to self. Things to look for on YouTube.
Yeah,
everybody's
got a homework assignment. All right. So a British supermarket sold coffee tins that depict slaves working on plantations and quickly removed them from its shelves after an outcry from outraged customers, according to a report. The images show black slaves harvesting beans in Guatemala, and one image depicts a white plantation manager watching a black mother carrying a child. The items were taken off the shelves within a week. The supplier explained that the images were intended to depict how coffee was historically harvested and traded. The maker of the
don't celebrate it, jacket.
Well, wow.
Anyway,
really.
So Sequala, who made it, apologized.
Sequala, that's a British company.
All right, would you find these images offensive?
Yeah.
Outside
of a museum, yes.
Yes. Yes.
Ooh, dude, come on.
Outside of a history book
outside
or
a museum.
Museum
or a
but
cemetery,
here,
yes.
but their oh, argument. God. Their argument is...
Is this real?
Yes, this is
real. The white managers would... Listen, black dudes picking coffee in Guatemala? Hey, that's probably going on today still. Okay,
but they're
the
not
white
slaves.
Guy in the field? Not cool. That's a... No.
We got to remember...
You can't go there.
You got to remember, England does not have the history with slavery that we have.
They do, too. They start...
Not,
dude,
but not the plantation.
Before 1776?
But not the plantation.
Yes, they do. They didn't... All those plantations belonged. They were English colony. They were English plantations before George Washington and Jefferson and all those dudes said, "Hey, we're powerful enough now to break off from you. Goodbye.
But we'll keep the slaves.
They were English. Exactly.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Well, that was the Civil War.
And exactly. They were colonials, and yes. They used
slaves
everywhere.
But the maker is making the...
To win the war.
The maker is saying we did this for historical reasons.
No, no.
That's not...
No,
that,
no.
That belongs... That's history that belongs in the museum.
All right, so I'm going to go to you, Joe. I think you know where this is going, because we've had the conversation many times.
That's history that belongs in the museum.
Joe has been in favor of the statues, the Confederate statues, because it's history and talking points. Joe,
but
the coffee can.
But not in a coffee can.
I'd rather a coffee can than in a park.
I'd rather have it in a park where you can say teaching no. Point to point, not in a coffee can.
Oh, God, a commercial product. Glorifying the
slavery.
But it's
in
the same
argument.
I think it's the same argument.
If you looked up slavery in the encyclopedia, those bastards pretend. Can I say that word?
Yeah.
Yes, you did.
Can I say it?
Yes.
Okay.
Can we stop you?
Those bastards perfected it. The triangle trade, that was England.
Yes. And Portugal.
So, Joe, the historical argument ends with coffee.
It ends with something on something you're selling. Here's the difference.
Ah, nice.
You're,
no,
it's,
yeah.
It's something on something
like
you're
a slave.
Selling. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh.
Yeah. In the context of this, when you...
But isn't that just a bad business decision?
Yes, I'm not saying... I'm
but I'm saying, but why should they be allowed to?
Albeit, if I was at the marketing meeting, I would have raised my hand, okay?
If the coffee was delicious, would you drink it?
Yeah, well, yeah, you know. It's like when somebody leaves cookies at the day program, who left these? It could be ISIS, who cares? Delicious chocolate chip cookies, who cares, you know? But still, you're selling that. You go, are you you're selling slaves, Joe? When they're on the can, yes, it's wrong.
I would argue the best part of waking up is finding a slave in your cup.
Joe would.
It's Wrecking Ball Radio. This is Davin's Den.
Little breaking news as we are doing this show. Apparently, a meteor has landed by Detroit. To be honest, if
good
it,
news.
It can't hurt.
He's got nowhere to go but up.
Yeah, right.
I hope everybody's okay, but it's certainly not a good sign that that it was audible. We're getting messages from some of our fans in that area that was audible. So we hope everybody's okay. Hope it doesn't affect your reception of the show.
Oh wow!
Forget about property
it's all
damage.
About us.
Tune into Davin's Den to hear about the meteor.
Could have been part of the static issue.
Well,
we hope everybody's okay. It could be a sign that end times are near.
Oh, here we go.
Well, it's what's being described as a meteor reentry caused a large flash of light and loud noise heard across Michigan, Chicago, and Windsor.
By the way, the same thing has been described when I reenter. A flash and a loud noise. Wow. No, you shake your head. That's genius right there.
It's pushing it.
All right. So we got a new bit here. New year, new bit. Let me explain it. This is a... decoding the Bible. For a lot of people, I feel like the Bible is written in a, you know, ancient text, and we can't really relate to what it means.
It's thousands of years old.
Exactly. So, but we, the biblical scholars that we are, have decoded it.
Oh, great.
For you, Russ.
The Davin codes.
Be appreciative of the work we do. We are hoping that between the three of us, we can take some of these ancient texts and apply these verses for you, how you should interpret them. That sound right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. So here, and Joe made a Bible.
With the Old Testament, which contains the sacred books of the Jews, and the New Testament, which begins with the birth of Jesus. It is the holy book that has guided the faithful for centuries. And now we decode it. Welcome to Davin's Den, Decoding the Bible.
All right. So the first one is now therefore... kill every male among the little ones, and kill every woman who has known man intimately. But all the girls who have not known man intimately, spare for yourselves. And this is from Numbers 31:17-18. I'll take the first translation. You guys, I'm sure, have your own, because we're working with separate scholars.
Sure.
The way I interpret that, and okay. I know I carry a lot of gravitas in this area.
Yes, of course.
Kill all the plays and hoes, but go Roy Moore on the young bitches.
That's so wrong. Not cool.
That's how I read that.
You know what? But you are one of the leading theologians in this area.
I certainly am.
I do have to say that I did have a different interpretation. The scholar that I was speaking with, we both believe that this passage is about birth control options. Kill all the sperm using spermicide and every egg, sure, why not? But it's the girls who make sure that everything that comes close to them is in a protective package, they get spared. We might even want to harvest some eggs just to be on the safe side.
Wow.
Wow.
Nice. See, when I was sitting at the seminary, I was talking, and this is what we came up with. And basically, my finding was this. God was not one for hanky-panky and would be known as a mass murderer if he wasn't God and wanted to show much how he loved us. He showed his love by commanding the slaughter of innocent children and all the women with their who were with their fathers. As for the women who were, that would have not known man, they will now. Tee-hee and amen.
So God's not a nice guy.
No.
Right.
He's gotten mellow in his old age.
Has he?
Well,
he's sending meteors at Detroit.
I was just going to say, through a meteor, Detroit is trying to get rid of California.
And he goes, you know what you did.
Yeah. It's, you know, I get a funny feeling. It's like when the old man came home. What's going on here? Who's this?
You want to see an asshole? I'll show you an asshole. Yeah. Have a meteor.
Here's a meteor.
See, leave the president
Hope
alone.
Hope it doesn't get muddy sliding down that hill in California.
See, see, God's pro-Trump. He's proving a point right
there.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Wow. You can't make
Pip and I have had it all wrong the whole time.
Yeah.
Joe, once
no
again,
idea.
Your spirituality shall lead the way.
Oh my God.
All right. The next one, and then we'll let Pip have the first crack at. However, you may purchase male or female slaves from among the foreigners who live among you. You may also purchase the children of such resident foreigners, including those who have been born in your land. You may treat them as your property, passing them on to your children as a permanent inheritance. You may treat your slaves like this, but the people of Israel, your relatives, must never be treated this way. And this is from Leviticus 25:44-46. Pip.
See, what people don't understand when the Bible was translated, the word slave is a little-known name for a certain kind of chair. See, this particular passage is regarding the passing on or inheritance of furniture. See, when you put the word chair in every place where it says slave, you can see what I mean. And when it gets to the part about relatives, there just means don't leave your chairs to your niece and nephew because they're total furniture snobs, and they won't take hand-me-downs.
What's a Jew chair?
You know...
We're counting on that.
I wasn't counting on that.
Mother Helix.
I think that the niece and nephew are Jewish and they won't take any hand-me-down chairs.
Yeah, I'm not buying that one.
No.
Joe?
I was at a prayer breakfast this morning. And
as you want to do.
Yes, I was at the prayer breakfast and I read the passage and this is what we came up with. God knew even then that Jews love a bargain and needed housekeepers and gardeners and figured why hire them when you can enslave them? Make sure you don't have a Solar and a Stellan chains, and God will wink his eye and say shalom to the whole shebang.
So God is pro-business.
Yeah.
Again, another indication he likes Trump.
Yeah.
Okay, I got you. mine actually might be along your line. We have a new immigration policy, better than the wall. However, leave the Jews alone. They make good movies and are funny.
Love it.
Oh, gosh.
All right. Early in the morning, as Jesus was on his way back to the city, he was hungry. Seeing a fig tree by the road, he went up to it but found nothing on it except leaves. Then he said to it, "May you never bear fruit again." Immediately, the tree withered. And this is from Matthew 21:18. Now, Joe, when you were with these theologians, I'm sure you ran this by them.
Yes, and apparently, you know, a couple of them, one of them was a comic and stuff like that, so we equated it. So Jesus apparently was coming back from a gig trying to find a bite to eat. And this, right?
No Greeks in the area? No diners,
and there's nothing worse than when you're hungry to find a diner closed. And just as I wish the diner would burn down in front of me when I'm hungry and it's late, Jesus hit the roof and said, "Oh, for me sakes." And put a tree out of business. He then raised his arm and said, "Thou shalt be a white castle."
So basically, when you get angry, you're just doing what Jesus would do.
Of course, Jesus comes back. He comes to town. It's like, oh, for me's sakes, I want to get something to eat.
I'll tell you what, this segment has really given me appreciation of how godly you really are.
Yes.
Pip?
I'm holy.
Oh, yeah. Holy smokes.
Speaking of smokes. This is actually a sad story about a very hungry college student and his deep relationship with plants that you put in a bowl and smoke. See, Jesus missed his lunch break, and he was thinking about Fig Newtons. You know, you get something in your mind for a snack, and you just won't be satisfied with anything else? Well, with Fig Newtons on the brain, he saw a fig tree, and he thought, hey, that'll do in a pinch. But all the other stoned farmers went by this way before he got there, and the figs were all gone. Darn it all, Jesus said to the tree, it's all your fault. No lunch, no Fig Newtons. What's a guy got to do? Well, the tree was so embarrassed, it kind of wilted in shame. Or so it looked like to him.
Wow. There was a lot
there. Dude.
Yeah. All right. So I was texting with the Pope, and this is what he told me.
Oh, no.
So basically, Jesus was hangry. You won't like Jesus when he's hangry. Give Jesus a Snickers.
Wouldn't that be funny? Like, if he did a commercial with Jesus, he turns into Joe Pesci. I'll come back in 3 days. You bet I will, Henry. I'm coming back. You'll find out.
You're really not yourself when you were hungry?
All right, then the final one. She lusted after her lovers whose genitals were like those of donkeys and whose emission was like that of horses. And this is from Ezekiel 23:20. Pip.
Well, this is the sad story of a size queen who was frequently seen in the courtside seats at Knicks games. She never even noticed the dunking because she was all about the dribble, if you get me.
Joe.
Oh. Well, the original passage started out as, "Dear penthouse, you're not going to believe this." But nothing more of this passage is mentioned. However, the Bible does mention a woman in the Bible that walked funny with an overstretched mouth, wearing goggles, and was listed as the first slut. Amen.
So I'm talking to the rabbi.
Oh no!
The
this
one you
never
fight
goes
with.
Well.
The one I fight with.
You fight with
the racist rabbi.
This never goes well.
Very succinct. Said, nah, she liked black teenagers.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Well,
this is Davin's Den.
It's Davin's Den.
All right, there's a new sex survey. I always like to get all my information from surveys. Well, that's how I roll. A UK-based health and beauty retailer asked more than 2,000 individuals, 1,058 of them were Americans, extremely personal questions about their sexual past. They found out that the average number of sexual partners for Americans is a little higher than most in the world, because, well, who was? 7.2. 7.2 for Americans, compared to 7 in the United Kingdom and 5.4 in Italy. The most sexually liberal state in the country, according to the survey, is Louisiana, whose residents are averaging almost 6 times as many, 15.7.
Dude.
Yeah, that's it.
Exactly, I didn't even think about
those
that.
Those people yes. do anything for beads.
Yes. Mardi Gras.
You can stick them places, too. Anyway.
Show me your beads, really.
As those residents in the most sexually conservative state, Utah, who average only 2.6 partners in their lifetime.
Mardi Gras versus the Mormons.
Yes,
Mormon
yes.
Gras.
Mormon Gras.
People living in Oklahoma, Nebraska, and South Carolina boast an average of more than 10 lovers in their lifetime, while those in Mississippi, Kansas, and West Virginia keep their families on the lower end of the scale. They have smaller families, sleeping with an average of fewer than 5
oh!
people. That was a late hitter there for you, huh, Pip? In the honesty factor varies by gender when it comes to answering what's your number, question your partner. Men are more likely to exaggerate higher, when women are more likely to say it's less. They're higher.
Yeah, right.
The higher amount of partners an individual has, the more risk they have of getting diseases. 13% of those with 15 or more sexual partners disclosed they'd been diagnosed with a sexually transmitted disease.
Is that what that is?
Yes. That's what that itch and burning is. Compared to 3% for those a few partners. I'll ask everybody, do you know how many sexual partners you've had?
No.
Do you know how many?
Yes.
Do you know how many?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
I heard
seriously?
I used to know.
I heard I had a great time, but I couldn't think back.
You can list them?
I don't know what I had for breakfast.
No.
Wow.
I could not.
I always laugh when they call it a sexual partner. Hey there, partner. We're going to have a roll in the hay now.
Yeah!
Come on. Yeah, partner here.
Might be a negotiation.
Okay.
Sometimes I ain't get a name.
Get it in, little doggy.
Get along, little doggy. We're going to get in that
I don't
pen.
Think the amount of partners somebody has would affect a casual relationship. Like, you know, a friend with benefits. I don't think it would affect me that way.
No.
What do you mean?
Like, say you're friends with a hula. Yeah. and you're screwing around.
Again, why are you looking at me?
No, I'm saying that, like, I don't think her high number would dissuade me from going to Hoetown.
No.
No, if you're looking for that kind of girl, you got to expect it.
Yeah, I mean, if she's, if, you know, if her sexual partners look like their deposit clock,
it looks
you
like
know.
A duck it's and quacks like a duck is a duck.
Well, as long as she's got that little stripe.
Well, you know, something else that rhymes with duck. But
as long as she's got that little strip in housekeeping.
Two in the morning, you're drunk. Yeah, she'll say yeah.
Just make sure she's got that little strip that housekeeping puts over the toilet in hotels to make sure she's been sanitized since the last go round.
Oh, I love that strip when they put the strip across the toilet seat. I always like pretend I'm the mayor. Oh, I dedicate this toilet seat to the Taco Bell I had at dinner.
Get the scissors out.
You need a hobby, Joe. I'm sorry. You really need a hobby.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Now get out. I got
to
go.
You have to travel with cooler people.
Hold on. I have to get the picture of you shaking hands with the toilet paper.
Yeah, right.
Wow. I think I'm trying to get us back on topic here.
Oh, okay.
Try.
I think it might affect me if, like, somebody had a lot that I was interested in, like, a serious relationship with.
Mm-hmm.
You have whore Madonna complex.
I have what now?
Whore Madonna complex.
Ooh, Madonna?
Yeah, well, we all know Madonna's a whore, but, I mean, I'm saying the whore
Madonna. Do we now?
I never met them.
The mother of God.
You don't know? Really? Not that one. The cone bra bitch. Oh. The
wow.
No,
we don't like Madonna.
No, whore.
I'm a Slayer fan. I don't appreciate the music.
Right on, Slayer.
Whore Madonna complex. When you will do certain things with a woman who is going to bear your children, and you'll do other things with the whore, but never the two shall meet.
Yes.
Yeah.
I see no issue with that.
What, Russ? What were you begging me to do? Treat you like the whore that you are. Okay.
Oh, it's a dice quote.
I know it is.
One of my favorites.
Would it affect like I don't. I don't know if I could marry somebody that had, like, a lot, whatever a lot is.
Give me a number. Give me a number that would really...
One in the pink, two in the stink. No. No.
I didn't say give it to me. I mean, no. Give me a number that you would go, oh, man, no.
Let's make it a nice round 20.
Okay. 20?
20?
You don't think that's a lot?
That is a lot.
That's what I'm saying. That
your legs
would
be going up like a drawbridge every 5 minutes. No, you don't want that.
You guys think 20 is, like, way too much?
Yeah, Pip, what do you want to share?
Yeah, right.
I didn't know there was a rest area on your thigh.
Yeah, Pip.
Hold on, I'm still counting.
20?
No.
What do you mean, no?
Don't sprain your ankles backpedaling, okay?
Or other things. As long as you're on your back.
No, I'm not even near that, but I'm just wondering why 20 is like,
because I had to give a number. I had to give a number. I didn't give him a number.
I know.
You don't think that's a lot? I think that's a lot.
That's a lot.
Is it too much for a guy?
That's about right. No. There is a double. I'm nowhere near that, by the way.
Okay.
I'm nowhere near.
Oh, God, no, not me.
I wish.
You all wish that you were.
I never. If it's a guy, he's a stud, right?
Yeah. Right,
yeah,
right.
A double standard.
I'm like, yeah. Well, yeah. Why are you guys? You're like, I'm nowhere near that.
Is 20 too much, Russ?
For a woman?
Like, if you were going to marry her?
For marriage, no. That's too much.
That's too much.
Yeah, for marriage.
Yeah.
For mating, no.
No, for mating, anything goes.
It's 20 people walking like a.
Now, what happens if
slap and tickle? 20's okay.
How about this? How about this? I'll.
That's why God made me wait.
I'll tell you what. Nine.
Surgery
nine.
Drunk, reckless sex.
Hold on. Nine. Two of them she was in love with, including you. Seven were rock stars.
Wait a minute. What?
Nine partners. A woman. Nine partners. Two of them she was in. Two of the people she had sex with, she was in love with. You're one of those. So eight other people. Seven of those she was following bands around.
Still one. Yeah, red flag.
No,
I don't think
not for marriage.
No, that's not marriage material.
No.
You can't go banging Wynwood.
I wouldn't. Well, he's my favorite, but not for that reason. Musically.
Would that affect? Well, what's too much for a guy? We'll ask you. You're here.
Yeah, what would turn you off?
Oh, like 50.
50?
Really?
Yeah.
What are you dating, Ron Chamberlain?
Ron Jeremy?
Gene Simmons.
I can only wish.
Yeah. Wow, you're very tolerant.
I just don't care who somebody slept with before they got to me, as long as they have that little sanitized from my
Really?
Yeah. Who you banged before you got to me, none of my business.
You're very tolerant.
None of my business.
Yeah, well, you're much more liberal than we are.
Why do I care?
Yeah, I'm like that as well, but... Like, there's marriage, I think, with David is right, from a man's point of view. There's marriage material, and then there's the girl in the bar that, you know, she was the village bicycle.
Listen.
Right. I love that line.
I'll sleep with the stripper. gladly and tell everybody about it. I just don't want to fall in love with the stripper.
Why does somebody who has a lot of sexual partners have to be a stripper or a whore?
I was giving it, well, if they have a lot of sexual partners, they're kind of a whore. It's kind of the definition. It's kind of what, unless you're 80 and you've had 50 partners. I mean, if you're 25 and you've had 50 partners, there's only a short period of time that you've been having sex and you've been doing it a lot.
You're hanging out at the firehouse too.
Well, hang on a second. I'm twice that. So I'm like, all right. If it
you're
was
a
like,
whore!
If I, what? No, I mean, like.
Joe came down with two.
I meant age, not number. I'm saying that if it was like, you know, I'll say it. My number 7. I'm right in the average.
That's
there.
Not a whole lot.
So we're gonna call you old number 7.
Old number 7.
Lucky 7.
Lucky 7.
Let's get lucky 7.
Yeah.
But, no, you're fine. You're good. You're good. You're lovable.
But what if it was twice that many?
14. Still okay.
A woman over 40 with 7. That's God. There's girls who do that their senior year of high school.
Yes.
Yeah. It's called a spade a spade. Yeah, it is what it is.
None of Russ's offspring will be doing that, but others.
No.
No.
Mine are going to the comedy.
What are you doing, math?
Yeah.
Oh, Christ.
Yes,
Kevin. Joe, we got to wrap it up. We don't have time for this.
No.
What are you trying to carry
we'll
a war
all night?
No, yeah, no, yeah.
Freshman year of college.
No, 14 when a woman of your age.
Right.
Fine.
Okay.
14 and a woman of 25, we got problems.
Yeah. Really?
Stay away from the frat house, sweetheart.
Yeah. Seriously.
Don't put your drink down.
You don't have have to be the funnel.
Oh,
all right,
wow.
Let's promote some things.
Oh, my God, really?
Yeah, I hope it's abstinence.
Told you they'd be laughs
that's
tonight.
What I just saw.
Told you there'd be laughs tonight. All right, Joe, what do you got?
Okay, on Thursday, January 25th, my band Fragile Sky will be playing at 89 North over in Patchogue, New York. We will be going on 9 o'clock. It'll be a great show. It's my original band. 7 o'clock, we're going on. 631-730-8992 for tickets and information.
Friday, January 26th and Saturday, January 27th, I'll be in Winchester, Virginia at the Bright Box Theater. For tickets, call 540-773-2271. All right. Thank you guys for listening live. Follow us on Twitter at Davin's Den. Like us on Facebook, Davin's Den. We're going to have a new app coming out soon. I want you guys to check that out. In the meantime, you can listen to the whole show unedited. We edited out a lot of things, especially when Russ spoke. Davin'sDen.com. If you like us, tell a friend. If you hate us,
tell no one.
Either way, please keep on listening.